Welcome to Rhode Island Avenue Radio, where we'll talk about news, education, and opportunities for small businesses on the Rhode Island Avenue Main Street and in Washington, D.C. I'm Michelle Yancey.
And I'm Kyle Todd. Welcome to Rhode Island Avenue Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Rhode Island Avenue Radio. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning, Kyle.
How are you today?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Excellent. Excellent. You know, I know that you walked in and said you had not had coffee, but I got to tell you don't look like you're coffee deprived. You look pretty awake.
I'm pretty coffee deprived.
All right.
You know, I'm faking it till I make it. till I make it to Zeke's.
We won't throw any hard balls at you today. Hello to Rodney on the board back there. And as always, we want to start off the show by thanking our sponsors, the Department of Small and Local Business Development and the Department of Housing and Community Development. It is their grant dollars that allow us to produce this show, as well as to provide grants to small businesses up and down the Rhode Island Avenue Main Street corridor. And if you would like your business or organization to be a sponsor and to advertise on Rhode Island Avenue Radio, give me a shout. My email is kyle@riamainstreet.org. And the office number is 202-808-9050. I'm not there right now, just by the way. But leave a message and I will call you back. So yes, thanks to DSLBD and DHCD for the grant dollars. We are mere weeks away from Fall Fest. September 30th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. That at 2000 Rhode Island Avenue, once again on the sidewalks there of our great businesses. And this is our sixth year for doing Fall Fest.
I can't believe it. The time has flown.
It has. And man, what a difference from the very first Fall Fest that we did. We are due some great weather for Fall Fest this year. The last two Fall Fests have been a little dreary and rainy.
And cold,
but that's not going to happen this year because all of the hurricane season is getting itself worked out right now, apparently. Yes. 5 million hurricanes all at once. We will be warm and dry for Fall Fest this year. I just know it.
Very good.
I just know it. That is, Tuesday, September 12th, the day that this is airing, actually, we will be having a buildings and spaces workshop from 9 a.m. to noon at Small Business Works, SB Works, Five Points Business Center, 2316 Rhode Island Avenue. You can find out more information on our website. I guess by the time this airs, it will actually be in progress, but oh well. Be sure and sign up for newsletters on our website, riamainstreet.org, and you'll get announcements about things like this well in advance. And be sure and follow us on social media, both Facebook and Twitter, to keep up with all the things that are going on for small businesses on Rhode Island Avenue Main Street.
And you all do a lot of stuff over there.
We do.
On a regular basis. There's some good stuff out there.
You should totally be
on the newsletter.
Totally. Get this delivered to your inbox.
Yep.
Still working on finding the right soundtrack to start this off, but it is time for the news from Aaron Deneau. Welcome, Aaron.
Thank you, Kyle. Thank you, Michelle.
You're welcome.
I'm Aaron Deneau, and this is the news. We're talking today about a legendary artist that plied his trade right here close by at Bladensburg Road. And it's an appropriate month to reflect on today's theme, for in 1793, President George Washington laid the cornerstone to our U.S. Capitol. And today, we'd like to highlight the very, very crucial role of highly specialized enslaved African-American laborers who built the United States Capitol. And in particular, I'd like to pay special attention to Philip Reed. Philip Reed lived very close by from where we're sitting right today, this morning, in the radio studio. He was an absolute legend, an absolute American craftsman. He is very much credited for assembling and putting together the plaster mold and eventually bronze casting the Statue of Freedom that we see today on the top of the U.S. Capitol. So when you're walking by the U.S. Capitol, take a look at the very top, and you'll see the Statue of Freedom. And remember, that was made here very close by Philip Reed. And he's just was an incredible individual. And he worked at the Clark's Mills Foundry. He was actually owned by Clark's Mills. He was later freed on April 16th, 1862, with an act by President Abraham Lincoln here in the nation's capital. And so, as all the news sections are, this is just a legendary person that lived right here in the neighborhood. If you know where the bus station is over on Bladensburg Road, about 2530, that's where this foundry sat. And take a look at it. I think maybe someday it might be kind of cool if we got something for Philip Reed dedicated over that.
Yeah, we need a historic marker of some sort.
Something like that. And thank you very much. This is the news.
Yay,
thank you.
Wow.
So much history.
There really
again.
Is. I think this is a great bit to have on a regular basis. Thank you, Aaron.
Definitely. Thank you. This is a blast. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
Okay, it's time to check in with Casey at Good Food Markets. Good morning, Casey. How are you?
Good morning, Michelle. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning. How's everything going at the market? Or
it's
what's
great.
New at the market?
I think everyone has been waiting for this beautiful weather. We are ramping up for Fall Fest, of course.
Yay.
I've been contacting all of my local vendors, seeing who's available to come in and demo for us. Because that's something that we really like to do for Fall Fest, is just set up a whole day long of demos, bring in, you know, some juices and some snacks. As well as, you know, some wine tasting as well, because who doesn't love a little wine tasting while browsing Fall Fest.
That sounds exciting.
So we're getting all that set up for you guys.
Fantastic. And there's going to be, pumpkin painting?
Yeah, we're definitely going to have a kid's art craft, and I got to figure out exactly what that is. I'm definitely taking feedback from some of the parents that I'm seeing. But we are planning on having, those local vendors showcase.
Great.
And speaking of which, for the local vendors, I am so, so excited. I was at a Peregrine Coffee, sometime maybe a week or two ago. And I noticed that there was a new bag of beans, in their little retail section. It was called Small Plains. I was like, that's funny, because I go to Peregrine, you know, semi-often. And I'd never seen this bag before. And there's this little placard on top of it that was saying how, you know, Peregrine Coffee has been, you know, super devoted to Counterculture Coffee, which is a roastery in Durham, for a long time. And after, you know, having this career in coffee, they've now finally decided to enter the roasting business. And this is their new line of beans. Which is always really exciting to see people take on that challenge. You know, our friend Zeke, know how that goes. Great local business here as well. You know, Baltimore owned, but these guys are great, and it's definitely, you know, Woodridge community vibe here at this location. But turns out that these Small Plains coffee roasters, Peregrine owners, is a neighbor of Woodridge. So he actually shops frequently at Good Food Markets, didn't even realize that he, you know, was this company. And we're excited to be able to start distributing that bag of beans.
That's awesome. Talk about staying local.
Yeah,
exactly. So, you know, while we all love Zeke's and we're still going to keep supporting him, I mean, I can't tell you how many times a week, a day I go in there. But yeah, for folks that want to, you know, try a new bag of beans, bring some home, you know, if you're traveling, I know, especially with the holidays, a lot of people like to bring DC local items to wherever they might be going, you know, bring them a bag of Zeke's and bring them a bag of Small Plains. I don't know if we'll necessarily have it, very soon, because I think that they're very new, to the roasting game, and they're still getting all of that established. But we're excited to support, you know, one of our customers and his projects. As well as a local company. So it's a really exciting step for them. And, you know, there's tons of coffee conversations we could have. We could do a whole show on, you know, on how coffee is sourced and what the local roasters have to deal with to bring the stuff to us.
We have done a show on that. So
you've done a coffee show.
We did with Zeke. So
with Zeke, yeah. I mean, I think every time that Brandon comes in here to drop off beans with us, I learn something new about the coffee industry that's blown my mind.
Yeah.
It's very necessary.
Yeah, it's very necessary to my morning. I haven't had mine yet, so I'm a little slow.
Oh, no. God, get on it myself. I am literally a zombie without it. Steph is not happy.
No. As soon as the show is over, I'm heading to Zeke's.
We'll just get out of the way between you and the door and let
exactly.
you
Yeah, right? But no, it's super exciting, and we can't wait. It was such a surprise, too. We had no idea that this guy was a neighbor, you know? And I think that, you know, we always do want to walk the line, like support Zeke's, but, you know, we've had things like Rare Bird. We've tried Lost Dock, who isn't from this neighborhood, but Rare Bird, you know, had previously been in this neighborhood and had moved out. But yeah, it's just exciting to see DC businesses do so well, especially, you know, for Northeast families.
Well, and it's so important to have retailers like Good Food Markets commit to supporting the makers of DC, you know, whether it's because you guys have everything in there, you know, from soaps to kombucha to now, you know, the different coffee beans, every shelf in your store has something from local producers. So
the
partnership between the retailers and the producers is critical. So thanks for doing that.
Oh my gosh. It's the most fun part of what we do. I promise.
So remind our listeners where they can find Good Food DC, Good Food Markets, please.
Absolutely. Come see us at 2006 Rhode Island Avenue. We're on 20th in Rhode Island. We are open now from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Friday. We changed our opening hours to open a little bit early for our early birds. And we're open on Saturday and Sunday from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. And you can find us online at goodfoodmarkets.com. as well as on Facebook and Twitter. Engage with us there. We're also on Instagram. And we'll see you guys soon.
Thanks a lot, Casey.
Thanks, Cal. Thanks, Michelle.
Thanks. See ya.
Bye-bye.
So before we get to our guests, let's talk a little bit about the small business needs out there. You know, every small business starts at different levels, right? Well, everybody starts at the beginning, but... you know, there are some small business owners that get started in small business because they have backgrounds in working in small businesses, or they woke up one morning and said, you know what, I am done working for somebody else. I'm going to go work for myself. Or maybe they just find themselves in a situation where, you know, kind of like I joke about the restaurants, they decide they're going to open the restaurant because somebody told them that their meatloaf recipe is fantastic. Mm-hmm. But what most small businesses forget to do when they're in that starting process is actually have a plan, you know, a business plan. And there are so many stepping stones that a business must go through to be a successful business. And what so many people don't know is there are resources everywhere to help you be a successful business. So today's guests represent two of those organizations, and I'm so thrilled to have them both here at the same time talking to us. We have returning champion, Daryl Maxwell from DC Bar. Welcome, Daryl.
Thank you very much.
And we have the executive director of the Latino Economic Development Corporation?
Center, excuse me.
Marla Bolanek. Thank you, Marla, for joining us.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
So you both represent organizations that exist in a large part to support small business owners. And so we are going to talk today about the services that you each provide. So Daryl, you've been here before, so Marla gets to go first. Plus, you know,
she's prettier.
Ladies first,
she's prettier than he is.
An age before beauty. Yeah. I am actually older than Daryl. Yes.
So, Marla, welcome.
Yeah, thank you.
Talk very briefly, overview of what LEDC is all about.
Definitely. So for the purposes of today's talk, I'll focus mostly on our small business work, but I did want to just give a quick overview of everything that LEDC does in case any listeners resonate more with one or the other side of the work that we do. So LEDC is a 26-year-old organization. We've been around since 1991, founded in Mount Pleasant, just up the road. I've got to get used to where I'm sitting right now, but... Anyhow, we were founded to help Latinos and other underserved individuals build assets. And the two avenues that we look at when we're helping people build assets are homeownership and small business ownership. And so we help people purchase homes for the first time, help them avoid foreclosure if they're at risk of losing their homes. We also work a lot in the tenant organizing space because in a city like DC, an affordable apartment is an asset that you want to hold on to. And then on the small business side, which again will be the focus of what we're talking about today, we do one-on-one counseling. So really helping people either develop that plan that you were talking about, which is so important to get their business off the ground, but also with existing business owners to just deal with whatever issue they might be grappling that's either stalling their growth or expansion. And so we sort of help them around that. We also do classes. So some of the stuff that you were talking about earlier in the program, we do similar programming where we bring people together to learn about one specific business topic. And then lastly, but not least, we have a loan fund that supports the launch and expansion of small businesses in the communities that we serve, giving loans of $5,000 to $50,000 to individuals who want to start or grow their businesses.
Great, great. And Daryl, DC Bar Pro Bono Program. Again, listeners that have heard Daryl here before, they know that a little bit about the DC Bar Pro Bono Program. How do you kind of dovetail with the work that LEDC does?
Sure. So, at the Pro Bono Center, we provide free legal assistance to, and in the context of small business owners, we provide free legal assistance through our monthly brief advice small business clinics, where you can come in, you can meet with an attorney, you can ask questions about your lease, your contract. You know, for a lot of small businesses, they may have questions about, do I protect my name? You know, do I need to get information about intellectual property? You know, if I have a contract that I need to have reviewed, how do I do that? What exactly do I need to do? What provisions will protect me in this contract versus what provisions are going to protect maybe the big, you know, the big sort of person on the other side, or the big client on the other side? We are able to mobilize members of the bar, big firms, small firms, government lawyers. I would say we serve on average throughout the year between 400 and 450 clients through just our clinics. We also provide training and education on some of these business topics. I can talk a little bit later about some of the things we have coming up, but for the most part, that's how we provide our services. For the most part, they are free. Occasionally, we will charge for our trainings, which are longer term. But if you want to drop in, you want to meet with a lawyer, normally it might cost you, $300 an hour. We are considerably less since we're free.
that is considerably less.
That is considerably less, yes.
And what a great resource. I think I see the most challenges with leases with small businesses, not even really knowing what they don't know. As far as what to have, what to ask for, what to expect.
One of the things that is so difficult at times when you're trying to counsel a client is they may have already signed a lease.
Oh, yes.
And they come in and they say, like, how bad a position am
right.
I in? Or I didn't realize that I was signing this lease for 5 years, even though it says in the lease that you're signing it for 5 years. And that if for some reason you can't pay the rent, like you're on the hook for all 5 years.
So the best scenario would be for them to come see you prior to signing a lease.
That's always best.
Yes.
You know, for them to come.
Prior to signing anything.
Right. Yes. Yes.
Yes. Thank you. Yes. And Marla, the technical assistance that LEDC offers to small businesses, as you mentioned, you have seminars, you've got the trainings for success, I believe is what it's called, and you also have one-on-one consultants. Mm-hmm. So, what's a good path for a small business to head down with LEDC's small business TA?
Sure. So we offer a monthly class called How to Start a Business. And if you're in the idea phase, I would highly recommend that as a starting point, because it really lays out sort of at a high level what it takes to start a business. And a lot of people come to that class and might, say, okay, well, this isn't exactly the right time for me. I need to get some ducks in a row. And we can certainly help with putting those ducks in a row. But we really feel like that's a good starting point and an eye opener for, what it really means to start a business. Because sort of as you discussed at the outset of the program, There are a lot of beautiful and wonderful aspects about starting a business, you know, not least of which is realizing your dream, you know, whatever that dream might be. But there are also some really tough aspects. And I think that class is, you know, lays it all out on the table, and you can take it or leave it, but it's really a good place to start. And then from there, typically folks who want to definitely commit and go down that path usually start working with one of our business coaches to, you know, get the wheels in motion and get their plan moving. And that can really be anything from understanding what licenses and permits you need, developing your business plan, testing out the market. You know, it's a wide range of services, but really we'll work with anyone on every single aspect of their business so that when they do launch, they're ready to go. And there's nothing, you know, similar to Daryl, there's nothing, no surprises.
Is there a fee for this monthly class?
No, there's not. Wow. We don't charge. There are a couple of exceptions where we do charge for classes when we're bringing in an outside consultant who charges us a fee. So we just usually charge a small fee to offset the cost of the consultant. But our trainings are primarily free.
Wow.
And then the only other outlying for fee service that we have is we do in-depth consulting with external consultants who might be focusing on a very narrow issue. Like the best example that I'll give is merchandising. Mm-hmm. So if someone wants to know, like, where should I have the gum in my corner store and versus the shampoo versus the laundry detergent, you know, our in-house staff is really focused mostly on general business management, whereas someone, you know, who might be an expert in merchandising or developing a website could really sit with one of our clients. And in that case, we set out a work plan, and LEDC subsidizes the cost of the consultant, but we do ask the client to kick in $100 for 10 hours of expert consulting.
That's practically free.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Really? And it's a third of the cost.
Wow.
So we subsidize 2/3 of the cost.
That's incredible.
Well, and it's fair. I mean, that shows a business owner's investment in the education.
And, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. And those folks are top-notch, the consultants that we're bringing in with those expert services. So it's a real bargain.
How do you all get the funding to be able to offset these costs?
Well, we also receive generous support from DC's Department of Housing and Community Development. And then we have a wide range of funders ranging from corporate funding sources, foundations, other government, entities ranging from federal to local government. We actually operate in three markets. So we have various funding streams. But of course, for DC, our primary funding source is the Department of Housing and Community Development, DHCD.
Wow.
So your organization, Latino Economic Development, do you focus only on the Latino community?
No. And I'm really glad you asked that because our name might suggest otherwise. But and it's a conversation that we have internally a lot. But it's really just to let folks know that if they do happen to be Latino, that they can walk through our doors and be served in Spanish. Our entire staff of 41 is bilingual, and that they can feel sort of culturally at home. But absolutely not. Actually, 30% of our clients are African-American. So we do not exclude anyone of any size, shape, color, walk of life is welcome through our doors at any time.
Great, great. I know that was a question we had.
I would just add that I have had folks when folks come to either to me or to one of our small business clinics and have questions about funding sources or technical assistance, you know, one of the referral sources I will give is LEDC, and people have asked on a number of occasions, mm-hmm. wait, but that's not for me. And I said, no. It's for everybody.
It is for you. Yes.
It is for you. Do not at all feel excluded by the name. That was the initial sort of reasoning behind sort of the development of the organization, the founding of the organization. But they're here for everybody, and you need to take advantage of it. So
absolutely.
So, Dara, what's your affiliation with LEDC or the bar's affiliation?
Well, for the DC Bar Pro Bono Center, we have been we've been happy to be a great partner on years worth of training. I've been with the Pro Bono Center for almost 9 years, and this is goes back way further than that with the Pro Bono Center. So we have been a partner on trainings, both in English and in Spanish. We have done clinics in partnership with LEDC at their offices over the course of the last, 10 to 12 years, maybe even a little bit longer than that. And thanks for giving me the opening. As a matter of fact, we have a small business clinic for Hispanic Heritage Month, which begins on September 15th.
Right.
On September 27th, beginning at 5 o'clock, and you need to be there between 5 and 7:30, again, at LADC's offices, which are at 641 S Street, Northwest.
F as in Frank.
S as in Sam.
S as in Sam. All right. Thank you. Apparently I mumble. I didn't realize.
No, everyone mumbles S and F. You can't tell.
But yes, we have been really happy to partner with LADC, and particularly as we want to reach all throughout the year, but certainly during this time of year, to the Latino business population, of which in D.C. it's pretty significant. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure that we have a space for them to be comfortable coming in, that they're normally used to coming in for training and other things. And so we'll be doing that on September 27th and look forward to it.
Very good. Very good.
And I will just say that DC Bar is an amazing partner. The work that they do is really invaluable to our businesses. It's, it's awesome.
Thank you. Oh, yeah. And I'll also say I am a member of the LEDC board for full transparency. Not mm-hmm. that I needed to have any full transparency.
And some extra transparency. You're also a board member for the Rhode Island Avenue Main Street. You're just
all over the place.
I am all over the place.
All right.
I like to be involved with organizations that are fantastic. So
good plug.
And
someday your wife will forgive all of us for taking. Marla, what are some of the things that you have coming up?
I wish I had investigated that before I came on the call.
Well, I have your calendar right here.
In terms of trainings, I can't speak off the top of my head, but I would say, he's going to pull it up for me right now. Nothing like preparation. I certainly wasn't a Boy Scout or a Girl Scout. Well, coming up, we have an HPAP orientation, which is the Home Purchase Assistance Program, on this Saturday at 11:30 at our DC office, which again is at 641 S Street, Northwest, in the WeWork Wonder Bread Factory, if folks know that. It's the Shaw Howard University Metro Stop. And then I'm just looking to see what else we have coming up in D.C. The How to Start a Daycare Business in Ooh. Spanish is going to be offered on Tuesday at 10 a.m. One really important event that we have coming up is next Thursday, so it will be after this airs, and that is at 7 p.m. at the IN3 Incubator on Georgia Avenue. It's right to give some landmarks if people know where that Chipotle and Subway are on Georgia Avenue, right, sort of near Howard University. There is a new incubator sponsored by the city of D.C., and we are holding an event there, which is going to be a speed coaching event around integrating technology into your small business. So it really, really focused on technology elements, like how to use social media to promote your business, how to integrate technology through, formats like QuickBooks, into your business operations, point of sale systems. We'll have folks from, ranging from Google to Intuit. We have a lot of people coming through for that. So I highly, highly recommend that you sign up for that. Again, it's September 14th, Thursday night at 7 p.m. And last but not least, we are holding a Hispanic Heritage Month happy hour at one of our client locations on the 21st. And that is going to be at El Techo, which is the rooftop at Rito Loco, which is also in Shaw. They used to be a food truck, now have a brick and mortar. And now, thanks to LADC's loan, they have a rooftop. And so we're going to be celebrating that. It's really beautiful. I highly recommend you guys checking that one out because the space is amazing.
Well, great segue into the loan program.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about the loan program for small businesses. Is this one of the great community development finance type lending programs where it's not necessarily a traditional banking situation?
Yes. So LADC has been a community development financial institution, which means that we're regulated by the Treasury Department. Since 2003, we've been lending to small businesses since 97, but just as an LLC. And then in 2003, we got our certification. And this fund that we have is an alternative to commercial lending. So many, if not all, of the clients that we lend to would not be able to access financing from a traditional bank for many reasons. You know, it could be even just the age of their business. Banks really don't fund startups that have no track record whatsoever, you know, that are just presenting a set of projections. And it does require a leap of faith to do that kind of lending. So we lend to startups. We lend to people who have compromised credit scores. You know, we actually care about the reason why, you know, if you give your credit score to a bank and it doesn't match their thresholds, that's sort of the end of the story. But we'll work with clients to sort of understand and dig deeper as to, was it, you know, an extenuating circumstance? And then we also, you know, help even just in the packaging. You know, a bank really expects something to be presented in a certain way. And if our clients come and don't necessarily have it presented in the way that even we need to analyze it, we'll work with them to develop projections, to build the backup materials so that we can actually do an analysis of their loan request. So it's much more hands-on, much more flexible. Daryl actually sits on our loan committee, so he sees it from that side of things. And really, we've been very, very lucky to fund a slew of amazing businesses in the city.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question?
Absolutely.
I'm taking the wheel here, guys.
All right.
So, Marla.
Yeah.
Would you mind sharing with the audience?
Yeah.
Some of the businesses that you've been able to fund, whether names of businesses, I'm gonna throw out one myself, Bad Saint.
Oh yeah.
Or you know, one of the types of businesses, whether it be fancy names or even just some types of businesses that have been able to grow up through the loan program.
Sure. So we see four industries passing through our loan fund sort of most frequently, but we've funded any kind of business under the sun, from like a stationery business to a construction company. But really the four main types of businesses that we see are restaurant and food related. So that could be catering, food truck.
We do eat a lot here in DC.
Yes, yes, and yes. And we definitely do a taste test as part of the loan analysis. No, I'm just kidding.
No, you're not.
But, your product.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. We have a lot of retail. And then construction and cleaning are also big business sectors that we have funded in the past, not by design, but that's just sort of been the trend. Our most famous client that we gave seed funding to a way back way was Sweetgreen, which you guys might have heard of. Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Taqueria Habanero is not a loan recipient, but a TA recipient. You know, lots of restaurants that you go to and you know, have frequented, I'm sure we've had some hand in either from a lending side or a technical assistance side.
It's almost like having a baby.
It's great, you know? And it's so tangible because we can actually see, you know, something that was, you know, just a vacant storefront then becoming a flourishing business. So it's really, really exciting.
With multiple locations.
Exactly. Yeah.
So gratifying. So gratifying. And delicious.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I've definitely gained weight since being in this town, for sure.
So Daryl, while you have control of the wheel, and you're entitled since, you know, you've been here multiple times, you're practically,
and you're on all these boards.
Yeah. when you work with businesses that may be looking at a lending program, or accessing a lending program, what are some legal things that those businesses need to be thinking about from that lending perspective?
Sure. I mean, a couple of things that we look at even before we get to the legal questions that they should be answering. We want to make sure that they're going to be viable. And oftentimes, we don't have time to go through what their capitalization might be, how much money they have. That's usually not my territory, but trying to figure out, particularly for a new restaurant, trying to help them identify a space that makes sense for the business that they're going to do. If they're going to do a carryout restaurant, they may not need, you know, there's certain square footage they're not going to need. They might want to, you know, there are certain neighborhoods they probably don't want to sort of operate in. But we want to make sure that the business structure is sound, that, you know, If there are 10 partners who are part of the business, who makes the decisions? How is that structured in an operating agreement if you have a limited liability company or some other type of business format? And that, you know, you have an understanding that who's going to make the decision when things come up, you know, and a lot of times this happens when there's two people who are involved. Let's say, and I've had this happen a lot, there's a married couple who own a business, maybe own a restaurant. I think it should be this. He thinks it should be this. We want to make sure when we're trying to help, you know, when I'm trying to counsel somebody, that decisions can be made clearly. And, you know, you might, it may not, might not necessarily sound like a legal question, probably sounds more like a, you know, marriage counseling question. But it, to have that information and to be able to provide sort of, okay, this is what you guys need to look at, and you guys need to be clear in your direction, sort of in the legal documents that you might have, but also clear and sort of in your understanding as well, so that, you know, whatever, you know, we create documents for clients all the time, but if you don't understand what it says, or you don't understand or don't value what's in the document, it's not going to matter. So we want to make sure that when a business is going to come before us, that they've got all that stuff taken care of. Oftentimes, too, if you're, you know, whether it's a retail business or some other business, if you've already been operating, let's say, you know, maybe you've been working with clients in the past, or maybe you've been working for another business or another restaurant, we want to make sure that if you have additional sort of, maybe if you have contracts coming up and you want to transfer them over, you want, maybe you have clients that have worked with you for a long time and you're leaving to strike out on your own, as many of the folks that we've worked with do, what might your responsibility be to explain that to somebody you might have worked with before? Are you stepping on any toes? Might you already be involved in an agreement where you can't, you know, like a non-compete agreement where you're not, you can't operate within a certain, I've seen non-compete agreements where somebody leaves a restaurant, wants to start their own. DC is small, and you've got, you know, they've adapted some agreement from some other jurisdiction where the, you know, where the amount of space that they're talking about that you can't compete is all of DC and maybe parts of Virginia and Maryland too.
Wow.
That's the distance. And a lot of times you may not, you know, you, when you started with the business, you signed something, you didn't realize it. And then all of a sudden they present it in front of you when you're leaving, which is
going
to—
Remember you signed this.
Right, yeah. Right, which can be a hindrance to when you're starting your own thing. So that's, you know, those are some of the types of things that we have to think about.
Gotcha. What are some other, like if you, and this is to both Marla and Daryl here, we'll do this one at a time, I suppose. what, if you could list three things that a small business needs to really take into consideration at their inception, what would those three things be? Marla, you get to go first.
Oh, great.
Or you can pass it off to Daryl.
I think I can come up with it on the spot. I mean, I think the first thing to consider is how passionate you are about the idea, because I feel like when things are get to a really tough point, if you don't have that passion to carry you through, it will be really, really challenging. And I think all of us around the table could probably agree with that for all of our own situations. If I didn't care as much as I did about this organization, it would be really hard to get up in the morning every day and get here and show up and stay late and all of that. So, you know, that's similar to a business. I think the other thing to take into account, as you said, Kyle, a lot of people start a business because they don't want to work for someone else. When you run a business, you don't have just one boss. You have every single one of your clients and customers that is your boss.
Right,
so
right.
It's actually...
You're going from one boss to hundreds.
Many
bosses,
so, you know, that notion that you don't have to answer to anyone isn't necessarily the case. So sort of just getting that clear. And then I think a theme that's been running through what we've all been talking about is just preparation. And I wasn't the best example of that, not knowing the workshops that we had going on. And I appreciate the assist. But really, as much as you can anticipate on paper, it's so much better than getting the hiccup in real life, you know.
Right,
so a lot
right.
of times we'll be working with a client and, you know, working out scenarios and you know, everyone operates in the world with assumptions. So business owners might say, well, you know, I know that my clients will come to this location because, you know, no matter where I am, they're going to want to come. And then they might do a survey and realize that actually, no, people aren't willing to go there, you know. But if it's a survey, it's one thing. It's different than, you know, signing a lease on a space that isn't in the right place and you know, finding out the hard way that no one's going to show up. So, you know, really, I would stress, you know, as much as you can think through every possible scenario ahead of time. And of course, you won't be able to do that for everything. But as much as possible, it avoids a lot of heartbreak down the road.
Yeah. And you know, to your point of making sure you're committed.
Yeah.
It's also making sure that you really like what you're talking about doing.
Totally.
Because you can be doing that 8, 10, 12 hours a day if you're lucky.
Yeah.
And you have to like the types of customers that you're going to have.
Yes.
Because if you're not a people person, then don't be in a customer service business.
Definitely.
Right. If you were, an artist and you don't want to listen, you don't want to like take commissioned pieces, then, you know, you need to have that as part of your business model because you're going to be doing it all the time and you're going to be working with those customers all the time. So you better like what you're doing and like who you're working with.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's the creative element, which anyone can get behind. And then there is the running the business aspect, which isn't as much fun. So that's part of what you have to like or learn to like.
Yeah. Daryl?
So I'm going to echo one of Marla's sentiments, which do what you love is sounds simple, but right. If you don't sort of love what you're doing, and I would say particularly for new small business owners who are trying to get their business on track, you're more than likely going to be going, you know, 12, 14 hour days at the very least, weekends, you know, and you also, you know, you're going to have every position. You're going to be the janitor. You're going to be, you know, you're going to be handing out flyers on the street, all of that.
And you have to be receptionist.
Exactly.
Bookkeeper.
Yep. Exactly. Yep. You know, you have to be prepared to do that. The second thing is do your homework. Understandably, most people are paperwork phobic. If you are, that's okay. I mean, I don't think it's okay, but you can be paperwork phobic if you do your research. And understandably, there are things that people aren't going to know, you know. That's why our training and education is available to people. But a lot of times people will show up and have, you know, they don't understand anything about what their business is going to be. And sometimes I'm just like, wait, so do you really want to do this? You know, you need to have looked into this and had to have a really clear understanding of your market. And also, again, some of the stuff you're going to get help with and you can grow and develop. But There are clients that I've had, and I'm sure clients that Marla's had too, that, you know, folks who have made real legitimate outlays of cash before doing their homework, that doesn't make any sense. I cannot stress that enough. The third thing, particularly because I'm the lawyer here, don't sign anything with the parentheses until you either understand what you're signing or you meet with an attorney or somebody else to explain it to you.
Yeah.
It's just catchier to say don't sign anything, but you want to make
sure tagline.
What?
That's a new tagline.
Don't sign anything. You want to make you most certainly want to make sure that and as we were saying earlier, folks constantly come in and don't understand provisions. One of the things that I always ask both to the law school class that I teach and to clients, how many of you have read the iTunes terms and conditions? So many people are like, what? Why would I do that?
Guilty as charged.
And part of the reason...
Let them know what they signed up for.
Exactly. And part of the reason I read it was just so I could make this point. But also, I was curious, like, wait, what exactly am I signing? Like, I mean, yes, I'm going to go use iTunes all the time, but what exactly am I agreeing to? You know, most of it's even difficult for me to understand as somebody who reads contracts all day. But if I didn't read contracts all day, I'd be even less likely to want to read it. So if that's the case for something that for a lot of us is a part of their life on a regular basis, what does that mean when you've actually got to sort of start paying money to somebody who's doing work on a project for you to build out your space or something else? Oh, wait, I have to put up all this money up front And if there are cost overruns, I have to pay for it. I didn't realize that. That was not the discussion we had, but it's in the contract, and I didn't realize it. I've had that happen all the time. Yeah. You want to make sure you're reading something, you're signing something. Don't sign it until, and you find somebody to help you understand it, or you are confident that you understand it. There are times where there can be mistakes in understanding, but unless you're clear, you want to make sure you can get yourself to a place where you really understand it.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And it's great that our listeners that are starting small businesses have these great free resources and almost free resources. So
to each of you, how can our listeners learn more about your organizations?
Sure. You can go to our website, which is www.ledcmetro.org. Again, it's www.ledcmetro.org. Or you could call our virtual front desk, which is 202-588-5102. Again, it's 202-588-5102.
You can go to our resource site, which is www.lawhelp.org/DC/CED.
How do you remember all of that?
He's a lawyer.
I've been doing it a long time. But yes, I'll say it again, www.lawhelp.org/DC/CED. You can also find me on Twitter at Daryl, DarrylJ. Maxwell, again, at Daryl J. Maxwell. Thank you.
Daryl, don't sign it, Maxwell.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Well, thank you both for joining us today. I cannot tell you how much I appreciate both of your efforts to help small businesses grow here in the D.C. metro area. It is, I can't even imagine... The level of assistance that you have provided over the years and will continue, especially and as we're going forward into some years of question as far as the economy and small business growth. So we'll look forward to having you back in the future to talk about some more success stories.
For sure.
Definitely. Thanks so much for having
us.
Thank you.
Okay, that is going to wrap up another episode of Rhode Island Avenue Radio. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in again today. Be sure and head over to iTunes and give us a 4 or 5-star rating.
Sounds good.
That sounds fair.
Yep. And don't sign anything. Oh, right?
Right.
New businesses.
Read the terms and conditions.
And
thanks, everyone. We'll see you next week.